This morning we're going to continue in our study of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. And we're going to go for just a short little study this morning because of the concert, but we're going to look at some important things and review a few important things that we haven't talked about the last couple of Sundays as well. First of all, the Bible teaches us that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the Lord over all of creation, came to Israel 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ. This is the Christmas story that we focus on every Christmas. The story of God coming to the people he created in the form of a man born of the Virgin Mary. Now, someone might ask, well, why Israel? Why not my country? Or why 2,000 years ago? Why not today, while I'm alive? Why doesn't Jesus come as a man? But if God came as a man, as the Bible teaches, once and only once, in order to prepare salvation for all people, then he has to come at a particular time, in a particular place. And in his divine wisdom and in his divine plan, God chose Israel 2,000 years ago as the place where Jesus would appear. Born as a baby, born in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin Mary. The Lord came to Israel, but in coming to Israel, he also came to all of us as well. Because he's coming to mankind to prepare salvation for all races and peoples and tribes and tongues everywhere. So he's come as our Savior, and today he's not visible where we can see him with his eyes, but today also he is alive and he is here with us. Jesus is here now, together with us, very present in his spirit. And he's here seeking a relationship, a loving relationship with each and every one, with me and with you. He wants to have a close and intimate relationship. Now, keep this in mind as we look at this Bible passage and see if you can spot in the passage how Jesus is seeking to touch your heart and to bring you into relationship with him. It's Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 25 this morning. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." This passage opened talking about a lamp and about light. And light can speak symbolically of knowledge or wisdom, of purity or of righteousness, and of faith and of love, and especially the love of Christ, as we look in our Bibles. Now, the symbolic image of the lamp shining out into the darkness I think, represents or speaks to the idea of us making the effort to share all of these good things with those around us, to pass on the love of Jesus to others. In verse 16 it said, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed." Certainly this is true. If you are trying to share with others, you do not hide the thing that you are wanting to share. You bring it out into the open where everyone can see it and can give thanks for what you have brought. This is especially true of the good news of Jesus. This morning, if the gospel light of Christ is burning brightly in your heart, don't hide it. Let your light shine. Let your light shine so that the world can see and know Jesus. Verse 17, it goes on and says, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought, not be known or brought out into the open." Now, last week we saw how Jesus taught using parables, and he would speak to the crowds in parables, and then afterward he would explain the meaning of the parable to his disciples. And we asked the question of whether this was fair or reasonable, because the meaning of the parable was hidden from the crowds and revealed only to the disciples. And yet, we saw how anyone who wanted to follow Jesus and be a disciple was welcome. So it was really very fair, because anyone could come and hear the explanation of the meaning of the parable if they just came and followed Jesus and responded to what he was saying. But now we see something more. We see that whatever was hidden from the crowds, whatever was hidden at that time from the large group, will eventually be revealed and brought out into the open. Whatever was being hidden is hidden only temporarily for a short time, and at the proper time, the full truth will be made known. This is a great comfort to us, because it tells us that the full truth of the good news of Jesus will be brought into the open for all to see, so that we can give thanks for it. But it's also a bit frightening, because it says everything will be revealed in. Well, I don't know about you, but there's some things about me I wouldn't want to put up on the PowerPoint. There's some things about me I really don't want brought out into the open for everyone to look at, because I'm a sinner and I fall short in many ways. And yet it tells us that everything will be brought out and revealed. Nothing concealed will not be known or brought out into the open. So, you know, we need to prepare for that day. We need to be ready for the time when it's revealed. And the way we get ready is we turn to Jesus and we embrace Jesus, and he embraces us with his love. And through his completed work on the cross, we are forgiven our sins, so that we no longer have anything to be ashamed of or embarrassed about, because he cleanses us completely through his love, through his work on the cross. We receive forgiveness of sins. Now Jesus continues in verse 18, and he says, "Therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him." Some people don't like this verse. They're worried about what it might mean. And maybe there are other applications, but when we look at the context of what comes before and after this verse, I think we see that what it's really trying to speak of, I think, is the knowledge of the kingdom of God and the understanding of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. You see, whoever has some understanding, correct understanding of the good news of Jesus and who he is, will grow in their faith and become stronger and will understand more as they go. But if someone thinks, according to their own ideas, that, "Oh, I know what that's about, I understand that," and they actually misunderstand it and don't understand the good news of Jesus at all, then they are in danger, because the time will come when they will realize they were wrong, and even the understanding they thought they had will disappear, and yet they still won't have a correct understanding. And Jesus says, consider carefully how you listen. And that's what we need to do. We need to consider carefully how we listen to the Word of God and how we read it and how we understand it, to make sure that we hear what Jesus is really saying. We don't want to understand the good news of the gospel. We want to understand it correctly. And a correct understanding begins with understanding that we are sinners, that we are not adequate in ourselves. We are not able to cleanse ourselves or make ourselves good. That we are desperately in need of Jesus and the salvation He has prepared at the cross. For only through the cross of Christ can we receive forgiveness of our sins and the free gift of eternal life in heaven with Him forever. We need to trust in Him only for our salvation. See, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not that there's a bunch of rules and that if you follow all the rules, you'll be okay. That's not good news at all. That's the law. The good news is that even though we are unable to follow the rules, that God still loves us and has provided a way for us to be saved through trusting in Jesus and in what He has done. We need to make sure we are not relying on our own works or our own ideas or wisdom. The cross of Christ alone is sufficient to meet our needs. And we get the understanding we need through the Word of God, through the Scriptures. We can see Jesus, and in Him we can enjoy a wonderful and intimate, loving relationship with God, the Creator who made us. Now take a look. When Jesus and the disciples were caught in the storm on Lake Galilee, consider that part of today's reading for a moment. The disciples were frightened. They were afraid. They thought they were going to die, going to drown in the lake and in the storm. They were very afraid. But Jesus was not afraid. What was Jesus doing? Sleeping. Jesus was taking a nap during the storm. Ah, there's a big raging storm. The lightning's crashing. The wind's blowing. The waves are high. I think I'll take a nap until it's over. That's peace of heart. That's confidence and calmness. Now, Jesus is taking a nap, and the disciples are getting more and more afraid until they can't stand anymore. And the disciples went and woke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, and He rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Now, think about that. Can you imagine the scene? You're out here, you know, and here's the high waves coming up, and the wind blowing, and the boat is rocking, and the water's coming in, and there's the disciples, and they're working as hard as they can, and they're afraid. You can see it in their face. They're worried. We're going to die. And Jesus is over here taking a nap. You ever wonder whether Jesus snored? Did Jesus snore when He took a nap?
No.
Maybe snoring is perfect, you know? But He's taking a nap. And then you got the disciples here, and they're coming on glued. They're terrified. And finally, they're working as hard as they can to keep the boat under control, but they can't do it anymore. And they're so afraid, they don't know what to do, so they go and say, "Master, Master, wake up, we're going to drown." And Jesus kind of like rubs his eyes and says, "Oh my, what now?" And he gets up and he kind of stands there and he says, "Wind, stop that. Water, calm down," and all is calm. Because Jesus commanded the wind and the waves, commanded the storm to stop. We see here that Jesus is creator of the heavens and the earth, and he's Lord of all, Lord over nature. Jesus commands nature, and nature obeys. He scolded the sea and told it to be calm, and it was calm. Jesus had some words for the disciples too. He scolded them a bit too. He said, "Where is your faith?" And in fear and amazement, they asked each other, "Who is this?" He commands the winds and the water, and they obey him. You see, in effect, what Jesus is saying, if they had faith, then the storm would not have frightened them. They could have taken a nap too. Because if they had faith, they would have had no reason to be afraid. Now, the thing about faith, and I want you to get this part, okay? The thing about faith is it matters a great deal what your faith is in. What is the object of your faith? To be effective, faith must be placed in someone or something that has power, that has wisdom. No matter how much faith you have in Dan, you'll probably be disappointed. Because I don't have much power and wisdom. But I have the Word of God, and it tells me to place my faith in Jesus. Because he has all power and wisdom. Who had the power over the storm? Who has power over all things? Who has power over the problems in your life? Amen. If we know Jesus and trust in him, we don't have to be afraid when the storms of life come. And they will come. In every life, we're going to have some problems and troubles and struggles and disease and sickness and lost jobs and loneliness and sprained ankles and hair falling out. It's just going to happen. But Jesus, if we trust in him, we don't have to be afraid. Trusting in him and his love, because he loves us so much and he has the power to handle what he's doing in our lives. The disciples said, "Who is this? Who is this we're talking about here? This is Jesus. God come to save us. Jesus who healed the sick, calmed the sea, raised the dead. Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, rose from the grave, and is alive forever. Jesus who is here with us now, ready to forgive your sins and to give you the free gift of eternal life, ready to take your burdens on his strong shoulders so that you can have peace, so that you can take a nap even though there are storms in your life and problems. Because he's here to forgive us and to restore our relationship with God the moment we place our faith in him. God, the creator of the universe, wants to have a loving relationship with each and every one, with you and you and you and you. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to have a relationship closer than the bonds of family, closer than the love of a mother for her children. You see, God made you for that very purpose, that he could have a loving and intimate relationship with you. So he could love you, and so you could learn to love him also. That's what it's all about. That's why he created the heavens and the earth, is so he could love you and learn, and you could learn to love him as well. Now take a look at verses 20 and 21 in chapter 8 here. Some people find these difficult. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." What is Jesus saying here? Is Jesus being rude to his mother and his brothers? No, I don't think so. I don't think that's what's going on here at all. You know, we know Mary, Jesus' mother. Jesus' mother Mary, she believed in God and she loved God and she was obedient to God's word. So Jesus isn't going to reject her or put her down. Rather, Jesus is instead, he's lifting up everyone who trusts in God and believes God and walks with God to the same level as mother and brother, sisters, family. Everyone who trusts in God and is ready to obey his word is invited into a relationship with God, in a relationship with Jesus, Lord of all, like family. Closer even than the relationship between brothers and sisters or between a mother and children. When you place your faith in Jesus and his finished work on the cross, you are adopted into the family of God. The invitation is for all. Come and trust in Jesus, and your sins will be forgiven. Believe in Jesus, and you will receive the free gift of eternal life. Place your faith in Jesus, and he will welcome you into his family. Family, the family of God. Let's pray. Lord, we give thanks to you for this wonderful grace and mercy that you have had. The free gift of salvation available for all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come now and touch each and every heart. Help us to draw near to you. Help us to understand the gospel clearly, to confess our sins and to receive forgiveness and be made clean. And Lord, there are many storms in life. Lost jobs, problems in relationships, loneliness, despair, addictions, temptations. Lord, you know each and everything. You know every person's heart and situation. Come and meet their need. Meet their need through the love and grace of Christ, through your great mercy. Pour out your spirit on your people, that we may walk in joy and peace, with great hope and confidence, knowing that we are saved through our relationship with you as your adopted sons and daughters. And Lord, in a few minutes, we're going to have a special concert this morning. Bless the band, Lord, their friends and family, here and far away. And through them, speak to us of your love, draw us near to you. Bless each person who's come to hear and to listen. Help us all to see Jesus, to know him, and to walk with him. In his holy name we pray. Amen.